Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 12th day of September 2018. And I'm delighted to have, as a very first-time guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. George Scipione. He is director and adjunct professor at the Biblical Counseling Institute of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And today he is going to be addressing the theme of one of his books, The Battle for the Biblical Family. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. George Scipione.
Thank you. It's my privilege and honor to be here.
Great. Well, although we have had other faculty members of the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary as guests on this program, for those of our listeners who have not heard those guests and know little or nothing about Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, why don't you let our listeners know something about that institution?
Well, it started in 1810 by the Scottish Covenanters that were in the United States. It's the fifth oldest seminary in the country.
Wow.
I think one's dropping out, and which will make us the fourth. The first one was New Brunswick. It was the Reformed up there, the Dutch Reform. And I think there was a Catholic one. Then PTS, which is Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, they're the ones in town. They're not very sound biblically. They don't believe they're kind of UP, United Presbyterian, and kind of liberal.
They dismissed Robert Gagnon, didn't they?
Yes, he's gone now. He was just the last remnant of conservative thinking and wrote one that huge book on homosexuality. So he's gone now. And anyway, we're the ones in town that actually still believe the Bible. And this is a denominational seminary for the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. So they're the Scottish Covenanters. They sing psalms unaccompanied a cappella.
Exclusively?
Exclusive, yes.
And for anybody who wants to investigate that seminary, to find out more about it, you can go to rpts.edu, rpts.edu, and hopefully I will remember to announce that information later as well. Well, since you are a first-time guest, Dr. Scipione, what we normally do when we have a first-time guest is we take a portion of the time to have that guest give a summary of your testimony of salvation, the kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what the providential circumstances that our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and ultimately saved you.
Well, that's very good. I'm glad you asked that. That's where I would start. I was raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is not mentionable in Pittsburgh. I always say it's a large urban area on the other side of the state. I was raised in a godly home. My father was ninth grade education, an immigrant family of eight kids. He got saved later in life, in his early 20s. His father got saved at a Billy Sunday meeting, of all things. And my father was raised in an Italian Baptist church, but was already going liberal at that point. He was saved in his early 20s. My mother was Roman Catholic, Rita Immaculata Liro. Doesn't get much more Catholic than that. She got saved when she was 15. So I was raised in a, basically it was the group, if you know it, the Conservative Baptists.
Yes, the church where I was saved in Amityville, Long Island, in the 1980s was at the time in the Conservative Baptist Association.
Well, there it is. That's where it was. And but I grew up a typical kid. I went forward and asked Jesus into my heart at 11. Nothing ever changed. I look back, I don't think I was regenerate. But, you know, went forward at Billy Graham Crusades, you know, kind of like a Protestant version of confessional.
Yeah.
Confess your sins, ask Jesus into your heart, and then you're back at it. So what happened was I was working at Hilltop Ranch, which was a teenage ranch down in Colora, Maryland, and asked advice of Art Glasser, who was a missionary, had been a missionary to India, taught out at Fuller, although he was conservative, and asked him, should I go to seminary, because I knew my life wasn't adding up, or should I go to law school? And he never pressed me on my commitment to Christ, so he said, well, if you were my son, I would tell you to go to seminary, because law school is too limited in terms of missions work, etc. So long story short, I applied to Dallas Theological Seminary, because that's my background, was accepted there, and when I was at the camp, I went to see Vernon Grounds, who was the head of Denver Theological Seminary, which was Conservative Baptist. And we got talking and asked for a sign from the Lord. I'm embarrassed to say it. Should I go to Conservative Baptist or should I go to Dallas? And he said definitely. And I had applied also to Westminster because an InterVarsity representative said there's more Baptists and Presbyterians up at Westminster, and it's a good place. You ought to apply. So all that's to say, I get to Westminster Theological Seminary. That's the real conversion. I am so ignorant. I mean, this is the truth. Guys, Reformed Baptists and others would say to me, Scipione, you're an Arminian. And I'd go, nope. I'm an Italian. I had no idea. And was a guy, a good guy there, a Reformed Baptist guy, and he told me, hey, you know, you remind me of Talkative in Pilgrim's Progress. And being so ignorant, I didn't even know that was not, that was not a compliment. So, Jack Miller was there, Jay Adams, and so... Miller had me go out and preach before I was even converted, but it was the doctrines of grace. So that's the long story short, was the doctrines of grace, the sovereignty of God, the absolute sovereignty of God in salvation. Chris, I was so angry I couldn't see straight. Who's God to do this? And when I started reading my Bible and, you know, I went through a stage, okay, wow. I'm up a creek without an eternal paddle because, you know, it's up to God to save me. And then I went through another stage of saying, boy, if I go to hell, that's what I deserve, and et cetera, et cetera. And eventually I came down to, how will I know I'm saved? You know, one day I think it was the Holy Spirit just said, look, you'll never repent enough. You'll never believe enough. You know, all these other prayers you've prayed, you know, it's already been done for you. I came to peace. So it's really the doctrines of grace. I tell people, Chuck Smith used to call them cemeteries. And I said, well, this guy got raised from the dead in the cemetery, so I'm eternally grateful for hearing the doctrines of grace at Westminster in Philadelphia. And
praise God.
That's my conversion.
And when did it become apparent to you that God was calling you into the ministry?
That's a very good question. Never having, well, first of all, I have to even double back. I can tell you instances I can remember playing the trumpet and doing stuff in Boy Scouts and in school. I was very shy. It's hard for people to believe at this point because I'm such a talker. But I grew up very shy, and I never would want to be in public and speaking in public. And so there was never really a strong sense. You know, I was at seminary. I got saved. I knew the Lord loved me, and basically Jay Adams and others who were there said, you have gifts for ministry. And I go, well, God hasn't spoken to me, so how do I know? So I did an interesting thing. I was going to the OP Church at that time. I had become, you know, it's a long story, you know, I'm a Presbyterian at that point, joined the OP. And I went up to my pastor and I said, "Hey, Tom Dyson, I'd like to run for elder." He looks at me. People don't do things like that. I said, "Well, it says in 1 Timothy 3, you know, if a man aspires to the office of overseer, that's a good thing." I said, "Look, if the people that I worship with don't see gifts and abilities, why would I think that some strange group of people that never met me would want to call me as a pastor?" And he said, "Well, it makes a lot of sense." So I basically, in a sense, I wouldn't call it a fleece or anything, but I said, providentially, if the people of God think I've got gifts for the ministry, you know, then I'm called to the ministry. And so I became a ruling elder in that congregation, and only one person objected, and she said, "Well, he'll probably get a call 6 months down the line, so I don't know what's the use of calling." And I said, "I have no intention to do that." Well, 6 months later, I got a call to the pastorate. But that's the process in terms of realizing the gifts. And part of my conversion was seeing Jay Adams' counsel from the Scriptures and seeing people's lives transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he mentored me, and he was going to that particular OP church at that time. So all that kind of came together that basically said, you know, you have gifts, and Clowney's whole spiel was at that time, if you have gifts, you have to use them. So that was my sense of the call to the ministry.
And then you obviously realized that you had certain either interests or gifts in the area of counseling, which led you into that field as well, if you could explain that.
Yes, well, that was part of it, like, you know, being mentored by Jay Adams. I mean, you know, sitting there halfway into the night going, you know, what am I supposed to do? What scripture should I go to? And, I mean, looking back now, I think I was a little bit green to be put into a position of authority like that. But, you know, God blessed, and over the time began to pick that up. And I became interested in that because I saw people transform, and I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit uses the Word. At that time, I was, I'm so old, it was a BD, a Bachelor of Divinity. So I stayed on and did a Master's in New Testament. And at the same time, I went to Temple University and did an MA in Psychology. Because I figured if I'm going to be interacting with this area, I need to know it. I need to know it even from a secular perspective. So I got my MTH in New Testament, and I got my MA from Temple in Counseling. And so that was a lifelong interest in not only the counseling per se, but Jay's view of ministry and how you do ministry and how you apply the Word to people's hearts. And that was the core of the way I was trained, and there's always been an interest in. When they started CCF, started the National Association of Methodic Counselors, I was in on the ground floor on that and have been involved in that ever since in terms of a board member. So it's a lifelong interest. And then, of course, I did teach part-time and then 3 years full-time in pastoral theology at Westminster, California. And then I went down to Greenville for a church plant for almost 2 years and then came up here 10 years ago to start the department for the seminary. They knew here that things were good as far as preaching, but they needed help with counseling.
Well, praise God. And you used a phrase that some of our listeners might be unfamiliar with, a phrase I believe it may have been coined by Jay Adams, but I'm not certain if he coined it or not, but nouthetic counseling. If you could explain how nouthetic counseling and the counseling that you personally subscribe to today, and also the ideology of counseling utilized by CCEF, if you could share with us how those views, they might not all be identical to the 21st century, I'm not sure, but how those views differ from your typical Christian counselor that may either consciously or unconsciously be using more pop psychology and secular ideology than he or his counselees are aware of.
Okay, good. What happened in the mid-60s, toward the end. Jay was being primed and eventually called down to Westminster, Philadelphia, to teach at the seminary. And he began to study areas that preaching and other things that he needed to do. And one of them was counseling. And at that time, historically, Rogerian, non-directive, non-judgmental counseling held the sway. Just as a parenthesis on that, Rogers went to seminary in New York City, in a liberal seminary, and he went for 1 year internship, I think a summer internship up in New England, came back, was disaffected with Christianity, gave up Christianity, and went and got a PhD from Columbia in New York City, and he developed basically what was a consistent application of liberal humanism, which is man is basically good. It's the environment, non-accepting, harsh environment, that holds him back from actualizing himself to his full potential. So what he needs is a non-judgmental, accepting, reflective kind of environment. And Rogers did that mostly with college students, I think, in Minnesota or Wisconsin, I forget which one. But that was what he had developed, and that had come into the church, even the evangelical church, and that was the prevailing view. And Jay, right or wrong, but he picked nouthetic, which is a Greek word, and it's really a transliteration of that. Noutheteo is the Greek verb, noutheteis is the noun, and he just picked that up and kind of used it as a loan word to say, nouthetic counseling is what? Verbally confronting someone for their good so that they would change. So that's he developed that, and CCF, the Christian Counseling Education Foundation, which is literally across the street from Westminster in Philadelphia, out in the suburbs, he founded that with John Bettler and others, and developed that whole program. And in the middle of that, they began to say, well, who's capable of doing this? Well, we've trained people, but we need to test them and certify them. And that's became the National Association of Nouthetic Counselors, which is now called ACBC, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. So that's how that developed, and that's what I was involved with. And it's a street caricature, which is false, is that it's harsh, it's blunt, beats people over the head. You know, you got 2 weeks to repent. If you don't, we're going to institute church discipline. But a whole complex of things happened. Jay said you have to be directive. If the scripture is directive, you need to have it in the church, not as an independent medical model. You need a pastoral model. And church discipline is not punitive, it's restorative. So there's a whole complex of things that kind of go together. And the big boys on the block still are CCEF, that foundation that he started 50 years ago. They just are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year.
Praise God. And so Dr. Adams and CCEF and you are basically still all basically saying the same thing as in regard to the ideology of counseling?
Yes, I think there's nuances, and different people have different styles. But basically, you know, ACBC and CCF are still carrying on that tradition. You know, as things develop, there's different, as I would say, there's emphasis on different syllables. Basically, it really comes down to, if we put it in theological terms, it's a presuppositional, exegetical, biblical approach. A Vantillian, you know, for people who are into theology, it's a, I try not to say that to the Ligonier types out here because they get really upset if I mention the word Vantill.
Okay.
So I have a good friend who's an evidentialist, and I go, okay, do you agree that we have to start with exegesis? Yes, okay, fine. Then that's as far as we'll go with Vantill. Forget the apologetic. we'll stick with Scripture. We can agree on that. So it's really an exegetically based, sophisticated, hopefully more and more sophisticated application of the Word of God to people's life issues. It's really discipleship.
Great. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you'd like to ask a question of Dr. Scipione on his book, The Battle for the Biblical Family, and any other area involving Christian counseling, that would be fine as well. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And obviously, since we have a biblical counselor on the program, that would lend itself to people wanting to ask personal and private questions. So you may feel free to do so. But please don't be anonymous unless it is a personal and private matter. Well, the book that you have written, The Battle for the Biblical Family, why don't you tell us what the catalyst was for you to write this book to begin with?
Okay, I'll give you a complete honest, since I'm God's child and I have to be honest. Someone asked me to write a book. I had helped someone, and it was supposed to be in a series edited by a well-known, the editor of World Magazine, so you know who that is. And he was the editor of the general series. I'd helped this person personally and then did premarital counseling and had their respect, and they wanted me to write a book. So I wrote the book, and I saw more red ink on the page than I have in blood in my body. So I did everything they asked me to do, and they admitted that, but they said they didn't think it would make it into the series. Okay, so the reality is I put about 6 years into this in terms of writing, researching, and everything. And I said, man, I can't waste this. I mean, so I said, okay, I'm going to impose it on my students for the marriage and family course. And then I used it as my doctoral project for the PhD program at Whitfield Seminary. So that's the real story behind the story. And that was in the original main research was done in the 90s with a few stuff thrown in later on with all the stuff that's happened since, you know, the book was written. That's the history of the book.
Well, I want to read just a few endorsements for this book so our listeners have an idea of who has been applauding it. First of all, we have James Neuheiser, Director of Counseling at Reformed Theological Seminary. He says, what makes this book unique is its covenantal perspective as it deals comprehensively with what God's Word says about the family. And that, as I said, is James Neuheiser. And we have Samuel Ling, President of the China Horizon, Professor Emeritus of Systematic Theology at International Theological Seminary. He says, Scipione lays out the biblical, theological, and cross-cultural foundations for rebuilding the family, God's way, and gives practical strategies church leaders and families take up and read. And then we have Jerry O'Neill, President of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, where Dr. Scipione serves on the faculty. Scipione fills his book with personal anecdotes. Reading the book is almost as good as hearing him teach. And that is the book that we are addressing, The Battle for the Biblical Family, published by our friends at Cross and Covenant Publications, who have been very good to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and our listeners. Well, this book is, as you know, broken up into five major sections. The Family, Why Bother? The Family, Does God Care? Is the West Best? Where's the Battle? And What's the Strategy? If you could begin on The Family, Why Bother? What did you mean by that section of the book?
Well, I've come to realize, you know, God saves individuals, but the family, you know, when I got to thinking, when a person asked me to write this book, I got to think, what's the family? And if the light goes on. Well, it's obviously God started with a family. It's the basic building block of society. It's very hard to have a solid church, and it's certainly hard to change a culture when you have the family all torn up, as we do some places like in the inner city, etc. So family is where God places individuals. He's concerned about individuals, but he doesn't immediately put people in a church. He doesn't put them into a state. Those major institutions, the church and the state, flow out of the family, at least historically, because in the beginning, up to Mosaic time, the family was the place where the state, as far as fighting was concerned and all those kinds of activities, and worship was always in the family. There were family altars. There wasn't any, you know, corporate worship as we understand it until Israel was called as a nation. And then in the New Covenant, of course, we have the church and the state as institutions that God still endorses, but they flow out of the family. And of course, the flood was a prime example. God starts, really restarts the whole creation, you know, through a family. And so that's why I think the family is so important.
And what do you mean specifically? This may seem like a no-brainer, but I'm sure throughout Christendom you might have different answers to this question. But what do you mean by the biblical family?
Yeah, the biblical family is what I guess sociologists and others might call the nuclear family, the father, the mother, and the children. And in some cases, it would be an extended household, you know, with older parents attached to it, or, you know, servants and sojourners. So that is what I think the Bible means, you know, by the family.
And obviously the next key word in your title, what is this battle about that you're speaking of?
Well, I mean, okay, just in our context in 2018, you know, one day after 9/11, 17 years, there are different views of the family. There's the biblical view. There's the humanistic, secular view. It can be a mommy and a mommy and a daddy and et cetera, et cetera. Those kinds of things. You know, we have the Islamic family, which is what? A guy and maybe up to four wives if you're in Uganda or elsewhere. You know, that can be a family unit. So, you know, there's different views. Certainly if you get into Southeastern Asian culture, Chinese and otherwise, you have an extended family that is the whole kit and caboodle. It's almost like, you know, the firstborn son has to burn incest on the altar because you've got all the ancestors that are dependent upon him. So when you look at those things, there are cultural and religiously different definitions of what the family is.
Well, we are going to our first break right now. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be back right after these messages with more of Dr. George Scipione and the battle for the biblical family.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please continue to keep Mike Gaidosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, in your prayers, even though he has successfully undergone the very serious heart surgery that we were announcing for a number of weeks. That is completed. He is home recovering, but it is still at least a six-week road ahead of him that awaits him in regard to his recovery. He's still very weak and requests your prayer that the Lord would quickly rise him up to newness of strength and health and vitality. And we thank all of you, especially Mike Gaidosh thanks all of you, from the bottom of his heart, for the many prayers that went up to our Lord's throne of grace on his behalf when he was going through this very frightening trial. And we thank the Lord that the great physician himself, Jesus Christ, guided the hands of the surgeon and brought him through this surgery and brought him safely home. So keep praying for a rapid recovery for Mike Gaidosh. And we are now back with our interview with Dr. George C. Scipione, and he is discussing his book, The Battle for the Biblical Family. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. We have a listener from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Gordy, who says, "How can we most effectively guide our children in their understanding of and engagement with people who are in the LGBTQ camp?" It's getting harder and harder to remember that acronym.
Sure. It keeps expanding every day.
Yeah.
I would just simply say that the best way is to put them into the general category of non-believers. There are people that we need to love and treat with respect, but we can't be friends with the world. All the stuff that James says, the Epistle of James, and all the other things in the New Testament where Paul finesses, you know, how do you react with non-believers when they ask you over to dinner? All those general principles, so that hopefully our children come out like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, when they're young kids and they're ripped off and taken to Babylon U. You know, they respond the right way. Again, only by the Spirit's power, you know, can that really get down from proper intellectual presentation to the kids to the application of it, you know, in their own hearts and lives. Of course, for the kids, a lot of it's going to be the same thing that the New Testament had to do, teach biblical view of sexuality and family in the light of a Roman Empire. I mean, I waggishly say the good news, bad news. The bad news is we've never been closer to the Roman Empire than today. The good news is we've never been closer to the Roman Empire than today. The gospel worked then, it'll work now. Now, it may take some of us to go to jail, it may take some persecution, but the bottom line, you know, those early Christians had to teach their kids how to be pure in the midst of a utterly corrupt and pagan world. So I don't mean to be oversimplistic, but we need to teach those rules and to the kids and just say, by the grace of God, you know, everyone has their different sin, and, you know, cultures can go even further into sin, like Romans 1 says, but we need to teach them. There's a lot of good stuff generally. I like Peter Jones in general, but he's got stuff, the God of Sex and other things in terms of trying to deal with the whole LGBTQ movement. So there's resources there. There's things that our group, the ACBC, people in it, the Heath Lambert and Jeremy Pierre and others have written in terms of about homosexuality, the whole approach. So again, I know that may be too general for the listener to say, well, that's not specific enough. There was a whole series in the past by Concordia, you know, the Lutheran press, and they had graded curriculum from kids in kindergarten on up on sexuality from a biblical perspective. You know, there are things like that that parents, especially homeschoolers, should be aware of, that they can use with their kids to try to teach them, you know, those parameters of human sexuality.
Well, thank you, Gordy in Mechanicsburg, and you have won a free copy of the book, The Battle for the Biblical Family, by our guest, Dr. George C. Scipione. The compliments of Crown and Covenant Publications, and you can swing by, since you're so close, to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. Since you're so close to them geographically, they're right on North Hanover Street in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Why don't you swing right over there tomorrow or sometime this week and pick up your copy, which will be waiting there for you, so you can spare them the expense of mailing the book out to you. And we thank cvbbs.com again, and Todd and Patty Jennings, the owners, for shipping out our winners their free copies of Bibles and books that they win by sending in questions to our guests on this program. You said something that I wanted you to clarify a bit. You were talking about the fact that we cannot be friends of the world, and of course that can mean different things to different people. Obviously, Jesus was a friend and is a friend of sinners. Jesus ate with prostitutes and tax collectors. And from my understanding of the New Testament, the only ones that we are not to be seen eating with, especially in public, are those that profess to be our brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen into egregious, perhaps scandalous sin, and they are unrepentant over those sins. But as far as your neighbor, who's an atheist, an agnostic, a member of a false religion, aren't we to befriend people like that so that we can cultivate relationships with them and be better ambassadors for Christ to them, bringing them the gospel, as well as being just good neighbors and friends and loving representatives of God in their lives?
Yes, but I think, I'm not trying to disagree with you, I agree wholeheartedly. However, I think his question was about children. So, again, I don't want to get another issue in terms of education, but, you know, yes, we should be salt and light in all kinds of public venues. That can even include public schools. I personally think that education is something that God wants done in the family, and they should control it, not the state. You know, that's another issue that's addressed in the book. Yes, being friends is one thing, but becoming I'm thinking in the James sense. We're not to become friends with the world where we get our perks, where we get our joys. You know, we can be kind to people. We can feed them. We can visit them when they're in the hospital. You know, if they're dying of AIDS, we can still try to minister to them if they're willing to. So I'm not saying we should be enemies, but the issue of kids becoming friends with non-believers, I'm not sure our kids really are meant to be evangelists, especially when they're down in the primary school level, because they can't tell the difference between a nice gay teacher and a sort of feisty straight teacher. They don't understand. So I don't want to complicate things, but there's an issue of age. And our teenage kids, you know, befriending people, you know, they got to be real careful before they're befriending somebody who is sexting, you know, over the internet. It's those kinds of things. So does that make sense? You know, there's wisdom in terms of, and what are you doing? Are you doing it because you want to be liked, or are you really ministering to somebody that's hurting? And I don't know, that depends on the child, too. Are they really committed to Christ, and do they really have the discernment? Some kids, we have five, one in particular, that one would fight anybody. Very opinionated like that. You don't have to worry about that person rolling over. I got one other child that, you know, they're a follower, you know, and you don't want them listening to other people. So it takes discernment. So I don't want to say, no, eating with friends, we should have friends over, next door neighbors, we should have them over. Even if they're gay and lesbian, we need to show them we're not afraid of them, that we still think they're image bearers of God. But it can't be on their basis. It has to be on the basis that we dictate, not everything, but we dictate that we're going to treat them as image bearers of God, people to be loved, not people who are there to affirm us and be our friends and make us feel good.
Yeah, you just jolted in my memory here the connection between the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary and someone who I'm about to mention, Rosaria Butterfield,
right?
Whose husband, Pastor Kent Butterfield, is a graduate of Reformed Presbyterian
right.
Theological Seminary,
correct.
And he is actually a covenanter or a member of the RPCNA denomination, a pastor in that denomination. And Rosaria,
right.
For those of our listeners who don't know who that is, and if you don't, I strongly urge you to go up to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio archive, ironsharpensironradio.com, and if you type in the name Butterfield into the search engine of the past shows podcasts section, where the recordings are archived, you will see several interviews come up that I urge you to listen to. But she was a lesbian. She was not only a lesbian, but she was a very strongly leftist tenured professor. I believe it was Syracuse University.
Yes, and she taught the gay and queer studies.
Yeah, and she was led to Christ by the neighborly friendship of a man that she thought that she was going to hate, had something to do with a conversation sparked by a newspaper article, and I believe it was the pastor that wrote a newspaper article, and
right.
Rosaria was responding to it. And this pastor and his wife bombed Rosaria Butterfield with love, invited her over their home, and her original name, I believe, was Rosaria Champagne, if I'm not mistaken, her maiden name. And she was led to Christ by this family through their love and through their inviting her over their home to dine with them. And then they eventually, when she got saved, they introduced her to Kent Butterfield, and they got married after her salvation. And, of course, repentance from the whole lesbian and left-wing agenda. But that is a remarkable example of a godly friendship extended towards a very lost individual.
She has three books that I know of.
Yes.
Crown and Covenant did two of them. The original one, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, and then Further Thoughts. And then I think Crossway did the last one, which was called The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
Yes, yeah, I'm looking right at it right now.
And that's her story of how they do hospitality.
Right. Well, there you have a very, very happy ending, to put it mildly, in regard to someone being brought from darkness into light for eternity through a friendship.
Yep.
And so in regards to Christian parents who have children, when do you think that parentally those children should be given permission to have friends that are lost? I mean, obviously the Bible doesn't give age numbers for a lot of things.
Right.
It's not that detailed a blueprint. But I'm assuming from what you said that you would not want your little children spending a lot of time with the children of lost neighbors then until they are of an older age. And is there an older age, or do you determine that by the behavior of your own child or children?
I think it's individual. You know, where you are, if the kids have made a confession of faith, you know, that they, you know, in your context would then be baptized. I mean, the bottom line is when that child evidences a love for Christ, you assume that they have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit can guide them. You wouldn't just say, okay, you got carte blanche, everything's okay for you. Because, again, there's individual differences. Some children are followers, some are leaders, and you don't want your kids who are followers being influenced by others. I would just simply say, anything overnight, especially with the sexual stuff that goes on, you would want the kids overnight at your place, not somewhere else, because you, especially the younger ones, you want to be able to monitor, you know, what's going on.
So you wouldn't mind, or you wouldn't disapprove of a Christian family with young children having the neighbor's children who are the lost children of lost parents over the home to, you know, spend a sleepover with your children?
A sleepover is a little different. I mean, I'd want to know these kids real well. I mean, my MO would be I'd want them to invite them to church, take them to Sunday school or to church, expose them that way, and as they know the family. Now, you know, if you've got two lesbians or two gay people next door who have adopted a kid, you don't want your kids over there, you know, living in that environment. Now, having the kid over at your place, that becomes an individual call in terms of wisdom, in terms of how you want to handle that. So in most situations, I think you probably wouldn't get the kids coming over unless, you know, those gay couples thought that you approved of what they're doing. You know, if you had a long-term friendship with them, and they knew that you really did care about them, even though you totally disagreed with their lifestyle, that might be different. I mean, that would be very different in terms of the individuals and how they're responding. But I'm not sure that sleepovers are good for young kids anyway. You want to be really careful what your kids are exposed to. But I would simply say, if you make a choice to do that, it's better on your turf than somewhere else that you can't control.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. The midway break on Iron Trip and Zion Radio is longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break between our two major segments because they air their own commercials and public service announcements to localize Iron Trip and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break, and I ask of you to use this time wisely by writing down questions for Dr. Scipione, which you can email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, write down information provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and more frequently patronize them, because the longer you patronize and more frequently you patronize our advertisers, the longer they are likely to remain our advertisers, which means the longer we are likely to remain on the air because we depend on our advertisers' funding and the funding from generous and benevolent benefactors to remain on the air. So please write down that information of the advertisers or provided by the advertisers and send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, with a question for Dr. George Scipione on the battle for the biblical family. And please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Dr. George Scipione.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433. We know we will make.
so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible,
Scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's when they typically man that phone line at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. Mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you're ordering at least $50 worth of merchandise, and you will receive free shipping on the entire order. You will also receive free of charge the book From Pride to Humility by Stuart Scott. And please always remember to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then I need to announce a couple of things that are going on in the community that I hope that you can join me in attending. The first is coming up right around the corner, November 9th and the 10th. That's the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. This year, the theme is the glory of the cross, and speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. That's being held November 9th and the 10th at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. To register, go to AllianceNet.org, AllianceNet.org, that's the website for the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Then, coming up in January 17th, which is a Thursday, through the 19th, which is a Saturday, The G3 conference returns to the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. The theme in January is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. I will be there as well, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth, God willing, and I hope that you join me there. This is an exciting conference. They're expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people to be present, and perhaps if the folks at Crown and Covenant Publishing, Crown and Covenant Publications, if they're listening, perhaps they will get a bug in their ear to man their own book table there or their own exhibitors booth there at the G3 conference. It will be well worth anyone's while with 4,000 or 5,000 people there to register for an exhibitors booth in addition to attending. For our Spanish and bilingual friends, the G3 conference is having an exclusively Spanish-speaking edition of the conference on Wednesday, the 16th of January. But for the English conference, the English-speaking conference, that includes such illustrious names as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, who is my favorite preacher on the planet Earth alive today. He is the pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and Chancellor at African Christian University. He will be there. Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, the Executive Director of John MacArthur's Ministry, Grace to You. Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 Conference. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Stephen J. Nichols, the President of Reformation Bible College, the Bible College founded by the late Dr. R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. And many more are on that speaking roster. If you'd like to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, you can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. As I try to always remember to remind you, please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to support your church and home, then please consider helping us remain on the air with your generous gifts by going to ironsharpensironradio.com and then click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. No, as long as whatever it is you're advertising is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me to advertise with me, but you need to be promoting something that is compatible with what we believe here. Then by all means, send me the email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, professional practice, or special event, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign. And the email is the same for sending in a question to Dr. George Scipione. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, city and state and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if you have a personal and private question. We are discussing the battle for the biblical family with Dr. George C. Scipione today. And Dr. Scipione, we do have a question from Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. And Bobby in Hartsdale, New York says, I understand that many advocates of nouthetic counseling frown upon using medication for one's mental problems. Are you in agreement with this? Is there any time where medication is appropriate, in your opinion? If you could please expand upon this.
You have 2 hours?
Not anymore. We did in the beginning.
Yeah, this is not an easy thing. First of all, God has created us body and soul. Okay, and it's a unit. And so the one really does affect the other. But biblically, our anthropology has to say that we're heart-driven. Now, there are things that profoundly affect the body. My mom died of Alzheimer's. My dad died of cancer. You know, those things, if we can treat them, we can, okay, and should. But for good medicine, we don't want to, this is just generally speaking, you don't want to treat just symptoms if you can get to the root cause. Understood? So if a person has cancer, you can eradicate the cancer. That's better than giving them palliative treatment so that they die feeling better. So the issue is, what is mental illness? Again, without going into a long argumentation, the mind, biblically speaking, can't get sick because it's part of the heart. The brain and the body can be affected, the outer man. So the question is, good medicine would have to say honestly, we have someone in our family who is on psychotropic drugs. You ask the psychiatrist, his name was Dr. Funkenstein. Said, with a name like that, I had to be a psychiatrist. And, you know, a non-believer, a Jewish guy, but, you know, very honest, we would talk with him and say, why do these work? He says, we don't know. He says, we're doing the best we can, but there's a difference between treating a symptom. So, for example, if a person has a problem with their pancreas and it doesn't produce insulin, and we can provide synthetic insulin, that's a case of helping the body to perform better. If a person is, let's say, bipolar, there's lithium helps that, certain drugs help that, but those are not drugs, or I should say hormones, that the body produces. So I have a friend, bipolar, he was on lithium, blew out his kidneys, he's on dialysis, doesn't have mood swings anymore. But see, in that case, you have to measure the good that you get from the medicine. So when people say you have a condition, so let me go on and on. If a person's depressed because they have a brain tumor, then we need to diagnose the brain tumor and remove the brain tumor. If a person has an endocrine problem, thyroid, then we need to diagnose that and try to deal with that. If a person is depressed like David was because he had committed adultery and covered it with murder, then giving him drugs would not help him because what he needed was to repent of what triggered the depression. Hope that makes sense to the hearer. So I'm a minimalist in terms of when it comes to drugs. The less, the better. If the drugs are the only way that we can control the situation, fine. But let's not say we're curing something because that's dishonest medicine. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes sense to me.
So you know, this is complicated. Some people go, no drugs. But, you know, others go, fine, give them the drugs, but that doesn't get at it. If you're dying of cancer, if you have diabetes, if you have, like I do, bilateral pulmonary embolisms, you know, I got to try to be responsible to try to reduce the size and the existence of those blood clots. For me to say, okay, I'm going to trust God to heal them, I could take that approach. I don't think that's a responsible. I need to treat a known physical problem that has a physiological cure that way. If it's a complicated factor, for example, if someone has bipolar because there is something wrong with their body, fine, let's give them the drugs, but that's not going to cure. And certainly it doesn't excuse any sinful behavior like going off and staying up all night, as I've had people who I've counseled. They stay up four nights in a row because they're going to write the great American novel. And then they hallucinate walking all over San Diego, you know, thinking their husband's going to eat the kids.
Wow.
Well, that's an actual case. Well, that person, look, we don't know what triggers that, but you can't lose your sleep. So for you to stay up 4 days in a row writing a book is sinful because that's not responsible behavior. You can't help the fact that your body responds this way. Other people who stay up 4 days might hallucinate but not do strange things. So I'm sure that doesn't satisfy the listener, but let's not fool ourselves into thinking because we get a label, okay, a label is not the same thing as a disease mechanism. So I can give you non-Christian psychiatrists and others that will make the same argument. A label is not the same thing as a disease mechanism. If we find out what the disease is and we can actually treat it, fine. And now it's, again, a simpler illustration. If a person has a fever, it is not wrong to give them medicine that will reduce their fever so they're more comfortable. But it is irresponsible to give them that medicine and saying you're curing the fever. You're not, you're controlling the fever. You better find out whether they have a bacterial or a viral infection or a fungal infection and go to the cause of the fever as opposed to just treating the symptom. So when we think in those terms, I think people are much more sensible. So I teach, and most people in the biblical counseling movement that I know, if somebody's on drugs, you don't tell them to get off because you're not a medical practitioner. You know, you tell them, let's handle your life in a biblical manner, and it's between you and the doctor to work out whether you do this. And I can give you personal examples, you know, from that person, the family that's on psychotropic drugs. Went to a doctor and, you know, he said, your daughter has ADD, ADHD, and you need to put her on Ritalin, okay? And I said, why, if I don't, am I a bad parent? Well, I didn't say you're a bad parent. I said, well, you said if she has this. I said, by the way, can you run a test to prove that my daughter has this condition? Doctor got all upset, but the doctor wasn't honest because there's no clinical test known to man at this point that can say, after this lab test, this kid has ADHD. It's behaviorally defined. Mm. So there's a lot of sloppy medicine going on, and I have to say there's a lot of sloppy biblical counseling as well. Take this verse with prayer and everything will be okay. No. Life is much more complicated than that. But let's be fair that medicine, as I tease my Christian doctor friends, why do you guys keep practicing medicine? Why don't you just go do it, you know? We just go do ministry, you know? And they laugh. They get the point. The point is that the Bible is 100% truth. Science, medical science, is always an admixture of truth and error. And we learn more and more. They told me 30 years ago, don't eat butter. It'll kill you. Eat margarine. Now they're saying, don't eat margarine, eat butter. There's less damage. So it's that kind of thing. So we've got to be careful of worshiping science and medicine. But, you know, if it's a discrete problem, you know, you've got a poor thyroid, take thyroxine. Again, it's much more complicated. We give, actually, in our DMIN program, we get a medical doctor to come in and give 20 hours on the human body and what pastors need to know about how people respond. And today, with sophisticated medicine, there are all kinds of medical ethics I can't get into now. You know, infertility, how do you handle that? You know, end-of-life issues. You know, so there's a lot of things with the medicine that biblical counseling others have to work on.
Yes, and I wholeheartedly agree with you about people, the necessity of people consulting their physicians when it comes to getting off of drugs that they are already on, especially because I know of at least two people that I know personally that attempted suicide when they went off the drugs that they were on, and it was sure. So there could be dangerous consequences to that kind of thing.
Well, if people say, hey, I threw all my meds away, I immediately say, please sign a letter, so if you fall over dead, your family's not going to blame me
right. For
that action. So even if a person shouldn't be on a medicine, they have to be withdrawn under medical care.
Right.
because it can be a very dangerous thing, you know, to stop doing drugs.
Right. We have Joey in Clifton, New Jersey. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention to Bobby in Hartsdale, you've also won a free copy of The Battle for the Biblical Family by Dr. George C. Scipione. So give us your full mailing address so cvbbs.com can mail that out to you. Now we have Joey in Clifton, New Jersey, who says, "Dear Dr. Scipione, it was very good to meet you and hear your talks at the last two ACBC conferences. I would like to ask you about a trend that has significant potential implications for the family. Specifically, it is the relentless attacks against gender complementarianism, to the point that traditional biblical interpretation is being challenged even within some reformed circles. I am wondering what your view is on this problem. Related to this, do you think there will be an eventful doctrinal schism among the Reformed over this issue as feminist views gain traction, or will it continue to be avoided as many have sought to do?" That's Joey from Clifton, New Jersey.
Okay, Joey, nice to meet you. Maybe if you're going to be in Dallas in a couple of weeks, I'll see you there. Yes, I think this is... I gave a talk recently in Japan, and I gave it elsewhere in Ohio recently, called The Cult of Gay Christianity. So I think it's becoming clear that biblical exegesis is being replaced by sociological and psychological exegesis that's being read back into the scriptures. Now, again, we have to be gentle and kind. You know, this revoicing thing that just went on, you know, out in St. Louis.
Yeah.
He's probably referring to things like that. You know, I think, again, we have to be kind, just as, I know feminists, look at Rosaria Butterfield. I know people who were at Westminster Seminary. One gal, it's a good personal friend, she came, I think, unconverted, you know, because her psychiatrist said, you know, some religious education might not hurt her. She came on a rabid feminist to the Westminster West campus, and she got converted and ended up doing a lot of counseling with people coming off of drugs, kind of taking tough cases. So, you know, those people need salvation. I'm not saying people who are confused on this. We have relatives that are going to churches that take and say, you know, we believe you have to be born again. We still believe the gospel. Jesus is the only way. But, you know, gay couples are okay. Well, you know, this is a real problem. And then you just have to go back over the same things that the liberals did. Jesus isn't this sweet, gentle, kind person. And, you know, Paul, the rabbinic, you know, Genghis Khan, you know, ruined Christianity. I mean, that's coming up in these circles, too. So, you know, Joey, you know, yeah, the feminist and the LGBTQ really come from the same issue, which is bad exegesis. People get upset with me. I said, one gal out here, you know, comes from a tradition that have women pastors. And she said, "You don't like me." I said, "No, that's not true. How do you say that?" She said, "You don't like women pastors." I said, "No, it's not a matter of like." I said, "When you prove to me that a woman can be the husband of one wife, you know, then I'm ready to work for a woman for elder." You got 1 Timothy, you know, where Paul argues from creation, fall, and redemption, you know, for male headship. Now, the flip side is, Joey, we have to also stand against the kind of male chauvinism that's passed for biblical Christianity in terms of where, you know, shut up, be barefoot, you know, pregnant, you know, in the kitchen kind of thing. And we see that a lot of abuse cases in the church where elders basically say, "You have no biblical grounds for staying away," and the woman goes back and she gets the snot beat out of her. This is irresponsible pastoring. And so, you know, I can tell you in Reform circles, there's big issues of this, you know, when do you tell a woman that she can leave? What are the grounds for divorce? There are a lot of complicated things involved in all of this, but I do think that we're constantly going to see more and more people saying this. It started years ago with alcohol. Alcoholism is a disease. The Bible says it's a sin. It's a disease, and therefore the Bible's understanding of drunkenness doesn't apply to alcoholism because that's a medical, physical disease. And I actually sat on a plane with a son of a Christian Reform pastor who was gay. We were going somewhere, and I got talking with him. He had just come from Pittsburgh. There's a gay Christian conference every year. They've had it for 15 years. And I said to him, you got to explain to me. You guys always used to argue genetics, genetics, genetics. Now sexual identity is a personal psychological construct. So there are different things going on in terms of the arguments and how we as biblical Christians, the Reformed Presbyterians, not in that denomination, but at work for them, they have statements on sexual identity and et cetera, that they've done biblical study and put it out for people to see. So, yes, more and more this is going to become an issue, and it really is going to be what determines of what is orthodoxy and what's not orthodoxy.
Well, thank you, Joey. You have also won a free copy of The Battle for the Biblical Family. So please make sure we have your full mailing address in Clifton, New Jersey, so that cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than the last one. So please, if you have a question that you'd like to send in, do it now because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our final segment with Dr. George C. Scipione on the battle for the biblical family right after these messages from our sponsors.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And welcome back. We are now in our last segment of our interview with Dr. George C. Scipione on his book, The Battle for the Biblical Family. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, is this battle for the biblical family that you describe in your book not only a battle with outside forces, not only outside of the church, but outside of the home, but even a battle for the biblical family under the roofs of Christian homes who may be either consciously or unconsciously drifting into non-biblical models for family life?
I think that's accurate to say that that happens. I do think, try to make a case in the book that the church and the state can step on the family. The family itself also can become a problem. Again, we homeschooled. My wife ran a homeschool co-op and has done a lot of things. We're very for it, but there have been many cases, many, maybe exaggerated, several cases all across the country we've run into where, somebody gets into patriarchalism. They want to go back to Abraham's day where they're prophet, priest, and king in the sense that they have family worship, they have a home church, the kids are homeschooled, and, there's no church that's ever good enough for them. And I've had to argue with men and with women saying, your family need to be members of a church. You have no right to withhold your wife from a church because you don't think the church is perfect. It's your obligation to get her under elders so that the elders can protect from an overzealous father or an abusive father. So I think the Puritans had it right. There's the family, the church, and the state. They each have their area of expertise and authority. And when the family tries to take over the state or the church's job, or the church tries to take over the family and the state's job, where the state, of course, is the biggest offender, I think, trying to take over the family and the church and make both irrelevant. Every totalitarian state in history has wanted to do that. So it's a tough balance. So the battle for the biblical family has to be won in the family and the church and the state level. I think we're foolish if we're making an overall strategy to ignore any one of those areas.
Well, thank you, Ronald. You've also won a free copy of The Battle for the Biblical Family. Please make sure we have your full mailing address. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, what do you think are the primary areas that this battle is being lost by many Christian families throughout the United States and abroad?
Well, I think the battle is being lost because they don't see the issue. They think as long as we take the kids to church and their secular education is neutral, it's not neutral. That's a large area where people are failing. I think people are kind of naive. I think, on the other hand, in the United States, understandably, people are hitting the panic button. Things are going down. We have to win at all kinds of level. I'm not saying that Kavanaugh is the answer to everything, or Gorsuch. I would prefer to see real committed biblical Christians who think biblically on the Supreme Court. But we lose the battle there, and that's why the progressives are so upset, because they believe they're going to lose the court, which is been changed. When the shoe was on the other foot, they could appoint all kinds of liberal judges, gay judges, whatever, and want to change the whole culture. So I think Christians have to be involved in that level. I think the church needs to help and strengthen the family. Some churches still, I think, have so many activities they tear the family apart and expect people to be there for witnessing and this, that, and the other thing, where they don't really strengthen the family. I think one of the key areas, of course, is male leadership, where men have to become servant leaders. where they really are humble and they really do sacrifice for their wife and children so that you know, they have a Christ-like model to want to follow. So again, I think there has to be coordinated efforts in terms of all you can do is what you can do, and I think all of us can work at least on the local family level because we have responsibility and authority there, and we have to get our families together if we're going to help the church and the state.
Well, thank you, BB. You have also won a free copy of The Battle for the Biblical Family. Please make sure we have your full mailing address. CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, wants to know, how much privacy do you think that our children are entitled to, especially in the day and age of the Internet, when all kinds of horrific, nightmarish consequences have erupted in many circumstances when children are alone with computers? But it's not just that. It's many other things in life that erupt when children are left unsupervised. When do we cross the line between being loving, caring guardians of our children to becoming obsessive and obnoxious parents, robbing our children of any kind of private life?
I think you've already answered it in the question. That's pretty eloquent. I think it really comes down to the Psalms. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that they build it. You know, unless the Lord guards the city, you know, all our efforts to save the family or whatever won't do anything unless the Holy Spirit creates a revival in the family and in the church and then eventually in the state. You know, the Supreme Court's not going to save the United States. The bottom line is we desperately need a revival that leads to a reformation, a third great awakening, or I think the country is going to be lost. Of course, the problem is if you run from here, where do you go? I mean, at least when the European Christians wanted to get freedom, they came to the New World. You know, unless anybody wants to go up to Baffin Bay or to Antarctica, there's not many places people could run to set up a more favorable situation. So we desperately need to pray for God's reviving grace. So I think, to be honest, kids don't need access. I don't know why they have to have cell phones and the like. Parents ought to monitor what's going on the computer. And this whole obsession with gadgets is just a whole different issue because, for example, when I was a kid, you know, you had to, you know, if you wanted to, you had to go sneak out of the house and go get pornography and sneak. You know, it's three clicks away now. So we have to be even more diligent. And I would simply say whether the people think we're being overly cautious, it doesn't mean we have to be mean or nasty or always suspicious of our kids, but it starts young. I mean, you have to have your child's heart, or no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to get through to them because God's got to change the heart. And so, you know, Ted Tripp's book, you know, Shepherding Child's Heart, you have to really think in terms of trying to reach the heart and have a relationship with the child that wants to be mentored. And I think that's, if for kids in the Christian home, they have to buy into this. I need the grace of God, and part of the grace of God is listening to my parents. So the church ought to help people to be able to minister to their kids that way. But I just don't understand why people allow their kids free access to the Internet and why until the child shows that he or she has a really proclivity for the things of the Lord and loves the Lord, you know, they shouldn't have the freedom to have that kind of access because they do not show that he or she does not show the wisdom to be able to handle these dangerous things. We have a hard enough time with, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-old guys handling the Internet.
Well, of course, there are things that parents can have software that prevents children from searching the pornographic and other types of sites.
And the problem is the kids today are getting so savvy.
Yeah.
they're finding ways around it.
Well, I know that kids today, a lot younger than me, that are probably not even teenagers, some of them, perhaps many of them, can use a computer more effectively and sufficiently than I can.
Sure. But that becomes, again, you have to know the individual child, and you just need to say, no, you know, you can't have that extra dessert. No, you can't have this. This is not good for you. I know you're going to be upset with me. Well, my friends, well, look, you know, I would have kids say that to me. Well, Pastor Wagner's kids don't do that. I said, well, look, you know, you're not a Wagner. You're a Scipione. Okay? If you want to apply for being a Wagner and they're willing to put you through college, that's okay with me. You want to go over there and become a Wagner. But in our household, these are the rules that we're going to follow because the kids would always do that. You know, oh, they don't do this, or they do this on the Lord's Day, or they do that. And, you know, and so, well, that's not the way we do things here. So you always have that balance, and it's difficult with kids. But I do think you don't want to be oppressive or mean. Always be tender and gentle. But you do have to remember you're the parent, and you're going to have to answer to God for how you deal with your kids.
Well, I'd like you now to have 5 or 6 uninterrupted minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to the battle for the biblical family.
I think, one, the battle is the Lord's. I think they need to remember that, you know, all the legislation in the world and all the proper people on courts or whatever, all these things are important. But ultimately, unless the Lord builds the house, we're going to labor in vain. And so, you know, you've got to spend time in prayer, maybe even fasting. That this is, we have to seek the Lord's face, and we have to be faithful to the Lord, whether the kids like it or not, so that we have to really set our goal of getting our kids in a good church, in a good school situation, and giving it the best shot that we can to get these kids raised to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, and Daniel's, as opposed to, you know, kids that are sneaking around and trying to undermine whatever Christian input that the parents give to them. So the main thing is that the battle is the Lord. The second thing is that I think that churches ought to encourage parents, and parents need to sit down and really think through where are the kids going to be educated. You know, you give your kids over to somebody else for 8 hours a day, you know, they're going to start taking in those values, Christian or non-Christian. And so we really need to think about how we're going to educate those kids. And we need to also have churches that really give parents catechetical material and means to raise kids, how to discipline kids, you know, all kinds of books that, you know, Bruce Ray's book, you've got Withhold Not Correction, you've got Ted Tripp's book, you've got other things, to give them the good materials, and that the church ought to be there to support parents. When they get to be older, I think churches ought to sit down and think about, hey, what can we do to encourage a sort of a semi-courtship model? Maybe no absolute ban on dating, but the bottom line is kids shouldn't be left to themselves. How are we going to create an environment where our kids can go away on missions trips and they can be involved in ministry and pick spouses from, you know, their experience by seeing people who are actually willing to serve and making the choices there as opposed to some kind of false dating kind of situation where people are just kind of going out in a false kind of situation where they see the best foot forward and they don't see the person under pressure or in ministry. So there's all kinds of things to think of what we can do for our kids. And of course, the best thing, I really should maybe put that second, is we have to have good marriages so our kids can see how loving leadership, sacrificial leadership, leads to a joy and submission instead of a fear and, oh, this is horrible, and, you know, it's oppressive. And so those are some of the main things I'd like them to go away. And And then there are those who are going to be in academics, that are going to be in medicine, that are going to be in law, that are going to run. I still think Christians ought to be involved in politics, as dirty as it can be, to speak into the culture. So I would just simply say being involved in this battle on whatever level you can, personal, church-wise, and also legislatively.
Great. Well, we do have time for a couple of more questions. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, I see from the Crown and Covenant Publications website that Dr. J. Adams wrote the foreword to your book. I was wondering if you agree with Dr. Adams about the controversial subject of forgiveness. From what my understanding is, from his book, From Forgiven to Forgiving, Dr. Adams believes that forgiveness is only to be extended towards people who ask for it and are repentant. It is not something that is just willy-nilly to be declared upon people who have no interest in repenting and do not even believe they are guilty of anything.
I think he's right. The short answer is I think he is right, because his premise is that's God's forgiveness, and our forgiveness needs to be modeled on his. Whereas MacArthur and others say you have to forgive, and reconciliation is dependent on whether the person's repentant or not. But God never, that I understand the scripture, God never forgives people that are not repentant.
Right. And I actually agree with that. I've read that book. It's an excellent book. And people, I think, on that issue, they misunderstand terms. They think that if you are saying what Dr. Adams is saying, which we believe is what the Bible is saying, that you're saying that we are supposed to be bitter and hateful,
no,
and we're not. We're always supposed to be waiting with open arms to forgive, aren't we not?
Exactly. In other words, the point is, the free offer of the gospel comes from God to every person. We know it only comes ultimately effectual in the elect. Since we're not God, we offer forgiveness to everyone, and we need to be ready to forgive genuinely. We want that person, for God's glory and the good of the person, to be repentant. So it's not a bitterness, and that's more of a psychological. If you don't forgive them, you're going to end up being bitter. But that's not what Adam's saying at all.
Amen. And we are always to be praying for and demonstrating love for those who are, I mean, even our enemies. So that is not being ignored by not extending forgiveness.
No, we're to gently plead with them. You know, I'm willing to forgive you because God's willing to forgive you, but you need to get right with God. I always tell people in my counseling, look, if somebody sinned against you, you're number two or four, depending whether you want to give God first place, which he gets, or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you're number four, you know. Get behind God, because if the person doesn't get right with God, they're not going to get right with you.
And I think that has a lot of connection to your subject of the biblical family, because don't parents have an obligation to even ask for the forgiveness of their own children if they realize that they were sinful in the way that they punished their children, or the way that they lost their temper with their children, or
sure.
In other ways, they have to humble themselves even to a little child and ask for forgiveness.
Of course. Because we have authority doesn't mean we're immune from criticism or repenting. God is the only one who doesn't abuse his authority.
Yeah, that's one of the fondest memories I have of my father, who passed away in 1988. As stubborn as he could be, he was a man that when he lost control of his temper in some way, he was not a violent man, but if he yelled and used vulgarity or profanity in his yelling, or did something else that he realized after he calmed down was wrong, I can remember him on a number of occasions asking for my forgiveness, which is something that I will forever remember about him. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners know about the how to get a hold of you. First of all, the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary's website is rpts.edu, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you want to get a hold of the book, The Battle for the Biblical Family, you can go to cvbbs.com. It's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And make sure you look for the book, The Battle for the Biblical Family, published by Crown and Covenant Publications and written by George C. Scipione. Do you have any other contact information that you care to give?
Well, if people have a particular question, you know, they can get a hold of me at G. Scipione, all lowercase, G-S-C-I-P-I-O-N-E, dot R-P-T-S, actually, at rpts.edu.
Well, I want to thank you so much, brother, for being on the show today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who wrote in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.